Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 live at the Bright Complex. Jimbo Fisher is going to be joining us in this hour, maybe in about 45 minutes or so. So we'll talk to the coach about what's going on. Maybe he'll break the starting quarterback news like he did last year. And Billy Lucci's going to be pissed. Okay? And
we
don't care.
Too bad, Billy.
Too bad, Bill.
You better get here earlier then if you want to hear it.
Apparently you're not up early enough in the morning, Bill.
Schoolhouse.
Right? Jimbo's breaking stuff here on the station in Houston for the Aggies. Right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Interesting stuff Ross Bjork had to say. I really liked the I thought when the lot of the different scenarios for college football going forward was 64 teams, maybe even 48 teams, you know, and that leaves a lot of good programs or potentially good programs out in the cold, and one of them would be the University of Houston. At 48, they wouldn't make that cut. 64, I think they're right on the brink, you know, whether or not they get there with all the stuff going on. 75, they're in.
Yeah, I was surprised too. He 75 to 100. Like, he was up at the. He also talked about the 100 mark and really just shaving potentially only 30 off. I thought that was really intriguing when he mentioned such a high number. I also thought that, and that would be preferable for, you know, college football traditionalists to keep as many schools in the mix as possible. It still doesn't really address the fact that there still would have to be two tiers. More than likely inside Division I. I mean, I don't know that Ross Bjork is going to say that out loud. Maybe he would. Maybe it'd be no big deal, but let's just be realistic. There still is the big-time haves and have-nots inside of a top 75. Even if it were 75 schools, there'd be, although you would expect them to work under one, you know, under one grouping, if you went under two, if you said, okay, we have 100 teams in here, well, then there's going to be a Tier 1 and a Tier 2. I mean, it almost would have to look like that. I thought the other interesting thing that Ross Bjork said was that if Texas and Texas A&M would play as a fixed matchup, rivalry matchup, if they were to go to 9 SEC games, if they went from 8 SEC games to a schedule that had 9 SEC games. Well, what would that mean? Well, what it would mean is that's really the first time what we've heard. You know, what was talked about is, well, Texas A&M doesn't want to play Texas every year. They're mad about this, and they don't want to be in a pod. Or that's what's been out there.
Yeah,
that's what's been out there. Well, this is kind of contrary to that. What Ross Bjork said is, no, we would play Texas on an annual basis if we went to 9 SEC games. And he seemed to be of the opinion that 9 SEC games would be a good thing because it would be more SEC matchups for fans to see as opposed to out-of-conference matchups.
Yeah, that would be interest. I want to see 9 games because it makes with that many teams, it makes it for a perfect schedule. Right now, it's such an unbalanced schedule in the SEC. LSU plays Florida every year while Alabama plays Tennessee across the way every year.
Right.
It's just it's been unfair. It's just not the way a nine game SEC schedule would balance out the schedule, where you'd see Georgia every other year there and then here. And those are big games. You would see – it depends on how it works out with the into two divisions. You would see Oklahoma at least every other year, maybe every year. It would be so much – I mean, it would be – to me, it would be so much better if they did work it out. And the SEC, the SEC doesn't screw things up, and the SEC, I think, will come to the right decision about this thing. Texas and Texas A&M should be playing every year. Taking these times off, there's going to be a time in 100 years when they're going to look back and go, I wonder why Texas and Texas A&M didn't play. Why did they take those years off? Because that's dumb. They're right down the road from each other. That's just stupid. What was going on then? Well, a lot of stupidity was going on then. That's what it was. We're living in some stupid Texas A&M times is what we're living in right here, because they should be playing every year. I don't think there's any question. So that was – those are some interesting quotes. If you didn't hear Ross Bjork, you can go back on the podcast and listen to it. He was with us at the bottom of the hour, 7:30, and some really good stuff. He's really seems like a really
sharp
good guy. He is.
And he's one of my favorite guys to talk to, because he's really.
And he ain't afraid to tell you what he's thinking either.
No, you get the sense that he's just really the right guy to kind of lead what's going on right now in college football, because I think there's going to be some athletic directors that this is too much for them. What's going on in college football is going to be too much for them, because it's more than they signed up for however many years ago they were there. NIL is a completely different and instead of just being overwhelmed by it, Ross Bjork's just talking about, hey, we're trying to get some governance here. You have to grab the reins and be a leader to try to rein it in a little bit and get some control over NIL, to where there's some uniformity, as he talked about. And, you know, that's going to take strong athletic directors and school presidents probably to do that, because it's going to have to be pushed into the legislative branch, because I don't think there's any other way they're going to do it. I mean, there's no true branch in college football anymore that's really, you know, the NCAAs, they decided to take a step. Here's what I was told, by the way. It's not that the NCAA was scared to do stuff from a stand, or that they were mad, like, okay, if you want NIL, we're backing out of everything, and you can just – it was really that they were afraid of being sued.
Sued.
Because the Supreme Court's decision made it where they thought, we're going to get sued if this sued. Happens.
No matter what they decided. And then, you know what? I was going to ask Ross about Lane Kiffin's proposal about having a salary cap. And if you want to know the truth, the kids probably take to court, and the kids probably win. How can you can't cap us on how much money we make? This is America. You know, you don't tell us that we have a limit on how much we make. And actually, the courts did say that, I believe, in the NCAA verdict. They said you cannot don't even think about capping or what these kids are going to get. So I would imagine a cap might bring up some more litigation problems. I thought it was also interesting that Ross Bjork thought that, you know, he and Jimbo could take Nick and Greg Byrne in a tag team match. Now, he did break it down that Byrne is a little bit taller and he's got leverage.
Yeah, but Byrne doesn't have leverage. Being tall is less leverage.
Oh, that's true.
Ross can get up under him.
Right, that's true. That
and
is true.
You see his hands? He's got some thick mitts, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm going, just telling you.
And
I'm
Jimbo
going,
against Nick is a –
That's not a great matchup for Alabama.
No.
I like Jimbo on that one.
Yeah, I don't know. Jimbo would take care of that business right now. Nick, he's got a mirror because he's so egotistical. He's got there's a mirror right there, and he can't stop looking at himself. That's how Nick goes. Did you see – and speaking of Alabama, did you see Bill O'Brien address the media?
Yeah, this is great. This is do we have time?
Yeah, we got time.
This is fantastic. Bill O'Brien made sure and tell everyone, listen, there was pro offer, you know,
everybody wants
pro offers,
me.
Everyone,
hey!
But I'm committed to,
everybody
I'm,
wants
I'm
me.
Committed to Nick Saban. I made a promise to him that I was going to stay here and you know, this is, I'm loyal to Nick Saban. His agent was the one, know for a fact, by the way, his agent was the one leaking the LSU stuff out there, like, looks like Bill O'Brien might be the favorite at LSU. Well, yeah, that's what it's looking like. And LSU's like, what, huh, no. He's not the favorite over here. Then the Jacksonville Jaguar thing popped up, and that had nothing to it.
There was
it was literally – now, could he have potentially gone back?
I wish he would. Please go to Jacksonville. Yeah. Please go to Jacksonville.
Now, could he have gone to well, that's what Alabama fans are saying, too, after his goal line play calling against A&M last year with Brian Robinson. But – you know, it's because they are so mad at him after the Aggies game last year, where he just didn't run the football with the hammerhead they had. But I can tell you this, he might have potentially been. I could have seen Bill Belichick bringing him back to New England.
Yeah, that's what was asked too.
But that might have been something where Belichick didn't want to do that to Nick Saban. You know, pull him off the staff. Although, this is why I almost call BS on that one, too. Nick Saban deals with guys leaving all the time.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world for Nick Saban to switch out a coordinator or a position coach. I mean, it happens. Maybe more. It's probably happened more than any other school in the history of college football. And that sounds like hyperbole, but it's not. Nick's been there for a while. And I know of, I think it's five offensive line coaches just over the last 10 years.
Nobody wants to work with him for more than a year or two. They got to get out of there.
Some take off and they get high, you know, they get jobs from it. It's a springboard for them, some of them. And some of them, I know of one offensive line coach, the rumor has it that he was kind of pushed out. And this is a good technique coach, a good offensive line coach, but he didn't do what Nick wanted him to do in terms of bringing in the five-star guys and closing the deal from recruiting. And it's as much about sales as it is coaching over there. Your technique stuff is important, but bringing the Jimmys and Joes in is equally important. If you don't do that as a salesman, then, you know, there could be repercussions. So there's a different level of as far as Alabama goes, I'm not sure that Nick wouldn't have said, yeah, go ahead. O'Brien, go back to New England. It's fine. But Bill O'Brien, I guess, needed to say that he just loves it. He said, I love it here. I love the fans. Let me tell you, he didn't love it at Penn State at all. I don't know that the college game is for him. And I think after this year, he'll be back in the pro game. It's just a question of head coach, coordinator, quarterback coach, whatever.
You know, he might rethink that because would you want to be a coordinator in the pros or working for Bill Belichick? Because let's say, Mac Jones is there and, you know, that Bill O'Brien, it certainly would. It makes sense him going back there. Or would you rather be the head coach at a big program again? I mean, maybe he didn't appreciate what he had at Penn State because he did an okay job.
He didn't like the fans.
Yeah.
He didn't like the fan. Well, I shouldn't say fans. He didn't like the.
The fans didn't like
he
him.
Didn't like the boosters. He didn't like the people he had to deal with.
Okay.
Well, that's college football. I'm sorry. You've got to deal with people who are going to try to tell you stuff all the time, especially people who have money, and you just have to learn to play the game. Like part of being, you know, that's why Mack Brown was really good at Texas is Mack had an understanding of how to play the game, had a glad hand. And there's two different types of coaches, right? Jimbo's the X and O guy. And I learned this a long time ago about college football. Most of the guys are going to be X and O guys, but sometimes you're going to have, and it's not to say that the CEO types don't have football knowledge, but Mack is a true CEO type. What's his name with Row the Boat?
At Minnesota. Yeah, Minnesota.
TJ.
Fleck.
Yeah, PJ Fleck. PJ Fleck is more of a CEO type.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a coach, too. He can do his X's and O's.
Yeah,
stuff,
but he
understands the game.
The glad hand.
Jimbo does enough of it. Nick Saban does enough of it. But they're football guys now. At their core, they are X's and O's guys. That's what they do. And they have to do enough of the other stuff. And that's why sometimes they're going to end up going viral for comments or whatever because they're football guys who are going to tell you they're going to get after it. They've got that. The CEO types are more they understand how to be smooth and things like that. Well, Bill O'Brien is a football guy, but you got to go in and win at an organization. When you win, you have more leeway. If you don't like people telling you because they put millions into the program and then they want to have an opinion on some stuff, you got to learn to listen to it and be able to play the game and play the politics on the college level. And then eventually – and see, he's used to the pro. Bill O'Brien was – well, I shouldn't say he's used to the pro. He's been at Duke. He's been at Georgia Tech. But that ain't Penn State. Penn State, they got opinions. So then he goes to the Texans. He's the boss of everything, literally the boss of the owner, the boss of everybody. Then he goes to Alabama, and it couldn't be more different. Like, this has got to be humbling for a guy like Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
To go from where he literally had control of ownership in Houston and could do anything he wanted to working at Alabama where, you know, he's got to earn the respect of fans, of boosters, of donors, and then Nick Saban. That's got to be a really different experience for him.
Yep. All right, 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here. We are live. Thanks to Destination Bryant once again for hosting us here. They did a great job getting us here. You had great pizza last night, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
RX Pizza was – the downtown's cool. They're revitalizing downtown. It was there's some cool stuff happening down there. But the pizza was good. The wait staff was great. It was had some tater tots with a fried egg on it.
You did? Oh, nice. Anything with a fried egg on it,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well,
as a fan,
we're still ahead. We've got Jimbo going to join us in this hour. Todd Callis is going to join us in the next hour to talk Astros baseball. But right now, we got GimmeTheVin.com. That's GimmeTheVin.com. That's John Clay Wolf. If you're looking for a great way to sell that car, the best way to sell that car, there's. I talked to somebody last week, as a matter of fact, who told me, "Yeah, I sold it to." Oh, Freddie. Freddie said, "Yeah, I had a old beat up car that John Clay Wolf gave me." Like $4,000 more than anybody else would have even thought about. It was like unbelievable. Yes, sir. I love John Clay Wolf. He's the best. Well, this is of testimonials all the time. That happened with me and Frankie's car. I didn't think I'd get anything for it. She was a battering ram. She was playing bumper cars with it. And sure enough, John Clay Wolf was like, oh, I'll give you. I was like, oh, are you kidding me? Done. Take it. That's it. I'm in. So that's the way he does business. So you go to GimmeTheVin.com, and you type in, you know, the VIN number or the license plate number, and right away you are going to get a quote. You're going to have to send them some pictures. You got to tell them about the quality of the car, everything else that's going on with it. But that's easy. People, all you got to do is go to GimmeTheVin.com. If you're selling your car, there's one way to do it. It's GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5.
Man, I can understand how it might be kind of hard to love a girl like me. I don't blame you much for wanting to be free. I just wanted you to know.
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Pete Rose has got some problems, man. You see this stuff going on with him? Apparently John Dowd.
Yeah, he's got some stuff going on with him right now.
Well, apparently John Dowd, a well-known Washington lawyer. Wasn't it the Dowd report that outed the steroid guys?
I think so.
Is that the same guy? Anyway, he said in a 2015 radio interview that Pete Rose had committed statutory rape by routinely having sex with underage girls during his baseball career. Well, Pete Rose filed against him.
Well, it says the Dowd report is the document describing the transgressions of Pete Rose. Yeah.
Oh, the Dowd report was, Bart Giamatti.
Yeah.
Not the Dowd report wasn't
no,
the
was
steroids.
The Mitchell?
Mitchell report. Yeah. That's right. The Dowd report was, you're absolutely right. So the Dowd report was the Pete Rose report.
That's John Dowd.
And John Dowd. So he said in an interview that Pete Rose was having relations with underage girls. And Pete Rose is suing him for it. Well, a woman has come forward and said, under oath, she says, Jane Doe says, Pete Rose, I was under 16, I was 14 at the time, and we would meet in a house in Cincinnati and blah, 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 blah. Well,
had a long-term relationship with
him. Yeah, right. Well, there is a female reporter.
Pete was questioned on this a couple times
when
he was in Philadelphia. And he had a response for a female reporter and a male reporter, two different sound bites that I watched the videos of them. And it is, I only read the one. I saw the sound bite of the male who came back, and then he's now trying to, he was trying to apologize.
So this woman, Alex Coffey, asked Pete about it. And she asked him, does your presence here send a negative message to women? His response was, no, I'm not here to talk about that. Sorry about that. It was 55 years ago, babe. I'm going to tell you one more time, I'm here for the Philly fans. I'm here for my teammates. I'm here for the Phillies organization. Who cares what happened 50 years ago? You weren't even born, so you shouldn't be talking about it because you weren't born.
I saw that one, yeah.
If you don't know a damn thing about it, don't talk about it. It's just... Pete is just, you know, I don't care if it was a different time. He said he thought she was 16.
I
16.
I think he said she was.
No, he said he thought she was 16.
He said he thought, or that he said she was 16 when it happened.
Well, right.
Because there is a big difference.
But did he see her driver's license? Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Do you think I believe Pete Rose on anything?
No. Well, yeah. And the Jane Doe has come forward and testified under oath that she was underage. So, you know, I think this lawsuit for John Dowd is going to be, he'll be exonerated, John Dowd will. But Pete is just, I mean, we've had Pete on a few times. He ain't afraid to tell the story. Did you hear him the other, we can't even play it. Because he said something about
John Kruk.
No, he was on a broadcast.
No, that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
He was on a broadcast. I knew John Kruk when he had two balls.
No, he
had testicular.
No, he said.
He said a lot of stuff.
I got a D-high fastball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's the same broadcast.
Yeah.
No. It was like a long, and then he claimed he didn't know he was on the air.
And then he said, I hit the ship out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Pete said a lot of stuff.
He
said a lot of stuff.
Pete is... Well, look,
you know,
I mean,
Pete is 80 something years
old.
Yeah,
he can say whatever he wants now.
We'll find out, but he's definitely at the age where he's like, well, I'm cut. I don't care. I'm Pete Rowe. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? I'm 85.
What are you going to do to me? What's going to happen? And did you see to the female reporter he said that to? He said, I apologize. I shouldn't have said that. Listen, let's just make this right. I'll sign 1,000 baseballs
right.
for you.
If I sign 1,000 baseballs first, will we be? Yeah.
We're even, right?
Right.
And she's like, I don't want 1,000 base. First of all, you signed so many things that it's devalued the market, Pete. So, no, I don't want 1,000 of your baseballs because there's 150,000 of them out there already.
Yeah,
Nobody autographs more things than Pete Rose.
Pete Rose loves to autograph. Oh, yeah. No.
Well, he loves to get paid for autographs.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, I mean, you got to make your money. You can't get in the Hall of Fame, so. Man, Pete, you're really burying yourself here, buddy, with that whole Hall of Fame thing. If he ever did have a chance.
Well, Pete's probably not the best guy. This is going on when he was having a relationship with an underage girl for years while he had a wife and two kids at home.
Yeah.
He's not the, I mean, and he's the guy that ran over Fosse at home plate and caused a concussion and caused him all kinds of.
Well, he was never the same. Ray Fosse
was never the same after he ran over him. I mean, yeah, Pete's not a great guy.
No,
and the less you stay out of the spotlight, probably the better. But he wanted his, you know, he got the attention of Philly fans, the positive attention from Philly fans when he was there. So be it. But and this is the news cycle. It's almost faded away now. It'll be gone in a day.
Did you see that the new AP coaches poll is out?
I did, and I thought it was interesting because the first thing that caught my eye was, all right, Alabama's number one. Nick Saban thinks they're rebuilding, and they're number one. Okay. Ohio State, number two, who a lot of people think they'll be, that they're the top team. Georgia, three. And at the time, at first I go, just snap. My snap comment, my snap thought is, Georgia 3, huh? And then I remembered how many players they had drafted. Like, oh, that's right. Trayvon Walker. What's the three technique? Jordan Davis. You had three defensive linemen, three linebackers, a safety, a cornerback. That's just off the top of my head, eight starters on defense gone. You have left tackle, left guard, both gone, running back gone. Quarterback's still there.
Wide receiver.
George Pickens.
Stetson Bennett
gone.
You got back.
Yeah, you still got Stetson Bennett. Pickens gone. John Fitzpatrick, one of your tight ends gone, but you've got incredible tight ends.
Well, is it just that Georgia now just reloads anyway?
Well, that's what I'm thinking is we used to say the same thing about Alabama.
Yeah. And then, they lost.
I mean, LSU.
LSU's the only
LSU
one that got
was buried after their draft.
The 19 guys.
Alabama's been having drafts like that, and they still reload. So,
right.
I think Georgia's probably at that point, too.
By the way, you made Tiger droppings yesterday.
Oh, the website?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lance Zierlein said how he thinks that everything is really bad in Tigerland right now.
That's what I'm hearing from people near Tigerland.
Yeah. No, my brother-in-law sent me what is this, Lance Zierlein? What is he saying?
I mean, I don't want to ruin your games for you, but, you know, here's what I would say. There's a good chance the Tigers could have a pretty good team in 2023.
Yeah, maybe. Or 24.
Or 24.
Or 24.
It ain't 22.
So Bama,
not 22,
Bama, Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson, Notre Dame, Michigan. I think Michigan falls off bad this year. A&M is 7th. Texas came in at 18th. You know why?
I can't figure it out. Not based on last year.
They came in 18th because somebody voted them number one.
Hmm.
One of the coaches voted Texas number one in the country.
You don't need to find out who voted number one. Did Longhorn Scott get a vote? Who voted? A coach voted him one? That's just like a – that's
somebody
doesn't like Sark. You know who did it? Nick Saban.
We got to ask Jimbo about Texas getting a vote for number one. Okay. And see
somebody
– See what he thinks about that.
Wow.
A number one vote.
Okay.
They were 5-7 last year.
Okay.
They lost to Kansas.
They lost to Kansas again.
They lost to Kansas.
Two of the last 3 years they've lost to Kansas.
Yeah,
so.
But you got to project, okay?
No, you do. You do have to project.
Yeah, you got
to. Bijan Robinson.
How's Hudson Card going to do this year?
Yeah, because supposedly – It's a battle between Hudson Card and Quinn Ewers. People who thought Quinn Ewers was going to step into that starting spot, I don't think that's happening. The O-line, I've heard, has really struggled against the defensive line. Bijan Robinson is excellent. He's a top 40 NFL draft pick, and that's a respectful thing to say because running backs a lot of times are just not going to go in the first round. But he's really talented, really talented. We'll see. We'll see how Sark does. I think he'll do better than last year, but – you better get the fronts built, and that means offensive line too. So, we'll because you got to protect quarterbacks and you got to open up running hole. That offense sucked last year; it was no good to watch. So they've got major issues over there. It is the usual suspects. I don't see anything. I don't see anyone new inside the list other than Utah. By the way, Utah's a team also that is favored in every game this year.
Yeah, well,
Utah at 8 is pretty interesting.
Yeah,
that's kind of a new addition into. A top 8 to 10 teams is Utah.
That is interesting. OU is 9. By the way, Brent Venables said, Cale Gundy said it multiple times, not just once, but multiple times. And, and we can't have that in our program. So he is gone, and rightfully so. That's what he said. Yikes. University of Houston is 25th on the list. 25th. So I would say this. University of Houston is better than Texas.
You think so?
Yep. I really do.
On the field they were last year. Now I'm fast forward and I'm taking away an offensive/defensive/special teams threat in Grant. Your running back tore an ACL, was it? Or is it a
– Yeah.
It was an ACL.
Yeah.
Your running back's going to be out this year with an ACL
tear. But you picked up a USC kid. You got another.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, Bijan Robinson's awfully good. You're not going to play in as – Well, I mean, in theory, you don't play in as tough a conference, but, I mean, you got Cincinnati. Cincinnati lost a lot.
They lost a lot. Yep.
They lost a lot. I don't know. I mean, Houston's going to have to prove it. It's got to be a show and prove. But so does Texas.
Yep.
I mean, so does Texas have to prove it. Texas is always going to get the bump because of the name.
Yeah.
But if you can't improve on a 5-7 in year two, Mac Brown struggled in year one and really had a nice comeback in year two. So I think that's what a lot of people are expecting from Sark. It's not the toughest conference in college football right now. And there's been a lot of hype about a lot of the guys that he's brought in. And Quinn Ewers has got all this hype. We'll see if Quinn Ewers can live up to it. But I don't exactly see people going crazy over Quinn Ewers right now or people I talk to. I have not heard that he is dominating camp. I can just tell you that.
Yep. All right, 713-780-3776. You got some thoughts. Jimbo just walked in. He's going to join us at 45 here. So,
By the way, big announcement, retirement announcement just hit.
We'll get to it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, I'm talking about eatlafayette.com. Eatlafayette.com. Go to Lafayette. Have yourself a wonderful trip, okay? If you're looking for, they got Hub City day trips. By the way, it's the Hub City. You want to be Cajun for a day? They'll show you how to be Cajun for the day. You want to go on a must-see day trips? You can do that as well. You want to dance two-step?
A Cajun day pass? You get a Cajun day pass?
Cajun day pass, yeah. You can get one, yep. You want to go to the Azalea Trail? You can do that. You want to go to the farmer's market? You can do that. There is something to do all over. The Acadiana Culture Center is awesome, awesome, awesome. It doesn't matter what you want to do. You got something for everybody there at eatlafayette.com. Find out for yourself. At eatlafayette.com, the reason it's called that is because they got a great campaign and everybody participated in eatlafayette.com has got discounts on food. You could stay. It's easy to get there, inexpensive to get there. It's inexpensive to stay, and then it's inexpensive to have a bunch of fun and to eat great. Great, great. The restaurants in Lafayette are rival anywhere else in the whole world. You know why? Because it's Cajun, and the Cajuns know how to cook, brother. All you got to do is go to eatlafayette.com. That's eatlafayette.com.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5.
How about the peeps over at Aqueduct? How about Billy and what they do and what they've done for you, what they've done for me? I had a pipe. I had a leak in my kitchen sink, and the water spewing out of there. I turned the water off, and I called them on a Sunday. And they said, oh, we can be all right. I said, no, just I got it turned off already. Just come tomorrow. That's fine. But they would have been there right there for you because that's what they do.
I've had them come out and do that as well for a basic clogged sink. And then I had a major – we had an issue that it just kept coming up and coming up. And they ended up taking a look at it. And what it was a job just wasn't done properly or – some things may have moved and shifted over the years and caused some of the piping to belly, which means, you know, it's almost a backflow situation. And if you have something like that where you notice there's a consistent issue and it's not getting better, you'll get it fixed, it seems temporary, there's a good chance that what you're going to have to do is get the experts from Aqueduct out there and take a good look with their cameras, find out what's going on, and get it fixed up. I had a major issue that we had to get solved, and we had it all solved at one time, including some original concrete piping from the half bathroom that was done from years and years ago, and they replaced that as well. And, you know, they do it at a fair price. The work is great, and they're an honest, honest company. And that's one of the things that stands out to me is their honesty.
Yeah.
Make sure that you you go with Aqueduct Plumbing.
Yeah, absolutely. Give them a call, 281-488-6238 or thebenchplumbing.com.
Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back. Live from the Bright Complex here on the campus of Texas A&M, the beautiful facility here. It's unbelievable. Jimbo Fisher's going to be joining us in just a little bit here on your home for Texas A&M. Athletics, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Big announcement just came out. Serena Williams is retiring from tennis. Greatest female athlete ever?
Yeah. I tell you so. I don't think it takes much to come up with that. Most accomplished. You know, it's funny. We started when Venus was really going off with Tiger, a young Tiger Woods, a young Venus Williams. And then Serena came on the scene, and it was like, oh, I think the younger sister may have – it was kind of a hot take at one point. Younger sister may have a chance to be better than Venus. Mm. And then soon after it was –
did you see King Richard?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you should. It's really, really, really good.
Yeah, I heard it's good.
Will Smith deserved the Oscar. He did a great job at the – well, I'm not going to give it away, but there was always this thing. It was mostly – it was about Venus and starting Venus's career.
Yeah.
But he had a plan for Serena. And Richard knew that she was going to be the best.
I remember talking to Martin Fox about it,
about
when he was doing tennis stuff here, about how, you know, they wouldn't play in the standard tournaments.
No.
And whatever he did, I mean, you can say what you want about Richard Williams, but he got the W on that one because, you know, Venus was a really good tennis player. Serena is probably the greatest athlete, female athlete that we've ever seen.
I mean,
one of the most accomplished athletes of all time.
Okay, who's so? And it's not just she's the greatest tennis player; she's the greatest female athlete.
Yeah,
I mean, who's even competitive with her?
I mean, Sue Bird, maybe. That's years. That's 20 years of excellence for Sue Bird.
She just retired the other day.
Yeah, I think you should put some
Put
some respect on her name, on Diana Taurasi's name. They have been incredible. in the WNBA, highly accomplished, have played a long time, won it on international levels, which U.S. is going to do that in basketball. Highly successful. Venus, that's a team sport. That's a team sport.
I would go more to the unbelievable track women.
You could do that too. Yeah. Well, why are you demeaning a basketball player? Why is a tennis player that much more athletic than a basketball player?
I'm not saying that, but she is head and shoulders above those two. Venus, Serena, what she's accomplished is way more than what Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi.
I've read an article on Sue Bird. Sue Bird's accomplishments are pretty staggering from college up to the pro. Sue Bird is really...
Who's the greatest female?
But I've already said it's Venus. I mean,
it's Serena.
To me, it's definitely Serena's the best athlete.
Who's
of all
the
time.
Greatest soccer player? Do we know?
I don't. I mean, how would I know?
No, I know. I mean,
I have no idea.
Is it Brandi Chastain?
But you're right. But FloJo was. There were some questions about the legitimacy of FloJo but you know, you could. Maybe it's
Jackie Joyner-Kersee.
I know who it
Jackie
was.
Jackie Joyner-Kersee.
Now, Jackie Joyner-Kersee is a really good one, but it's still. More accomplished. Serena, it's not close. Hey, St. Kitts, how about Babe Didrikson Zaharias?
Well, there is that.
Look at that. Hey, look at her throw the javelin, and now she's hitting the baseball. She grabs a mitt, and oh, look at that. Babe's got a persimmon wood driver, and she's driving the ball. And here she's got a six iron out, and she's hitting with wood shaft. Babe Didrikson Zaharias. Hey, kids, she's fighting in the war. She's the best.
She's a pilot. Let's take a break here because Jimbo Fisher is going to join us on the other side right here. Just wanted to get that announcement in. Serena, done. She's the greatest ever.
It's a lot.
It's not even close.
It's not close. No, Serena's the greatest.
But right now, you know what? She probably needs some kinetics.
Well, now she may. And QC kinetics is something that, you know, I talked to my dad about this. He's suffered from debilitating back injury since his early 40s. And I wish it's something that I would have known about in advance. I wish it's something that would have been available in advance. But right now, QC Kinetics is doing some amazing things for people with chronic shoulder, hip, back. I don't really care where your joint is that's suffering from chronic ailments and chronic pain. QC Kinetics has the solution for you. It's all natural biological therapies. They take healing properties from your body. They hyper-concentrate them, super-concentrate them. They put them back into the joint. And what it begins to do is regenerate or restore damaged tissue. And the damaged tissue is what's causing all that pain. Well, or the loss of tissue as well. When you're restoring and regenerating, it has a big impact. I had a guy, Ken, who reached out to me. He said, Lance, I had a torn labrum. My pain level was at an 8 when I'm just sitting there doing nothing. After one treatment right now, it's at about a 5. He had treatments 2 and 3. He said his number went down to a 2, and that's when he's just sitting there chilling, doing nothing. He said, this has been absolutely incredible, and he gave me permission to tell his story. This could be your story as well. No more surgery, shots, downtime, drugs. Make sure that you get with the experts at QC Kinetics right here in Houston, 713-913-5285. That's QC Kinetics.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, bringing in the head coach who's with us every week here on your home for the Aggies, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Jimbo Fisher with us here at the Bright Complex. Coach, welcome back. How are you?
Good. Going great. Into camp. Things are going well.
Yeah.
So, excited about being here. And today, actually, the kids had their first day off. As far as we had 6 straight practice, went from last Wednesday on, and in the first day off today. But a lot of progress. Fun.
That is great. You know, last year at this time, you broke who the starting quarterback was going to be right here on this show. And the best thing about it was it pissed off Billy Lucci. Is you want to break that?
That sounds personal.
I love Billy.
but John, you know who he loves more than Billy Lucci? Being able to jab at somebody.
Jab Billy Lucci.
No, we're not. We're working. Guys are rotating with different groups, and we're still in the process of going where we're going.
Yeah, how was that coming? How, tell us about it.
You know, I always say that when you start putting guys and mixing guys in the first couple of days, you get rhythm, timing gets there. But now the last two or three really days, I've been really pleased with the progress, and I've been very competitive, and guys are playing much more consistent, making plays, understanding why we're doing things, run checks, pass checks. Doing the things we have to do, and been pleased. Guys have played pretty well.
They have been. Tell us about Max and him coming over here.
Well, I mean, Max is a very talented guy. The guy's got a lot of experience. He's played a lot. He's big. He's rangy. And I always say this: people don't realize how he can run. People always see him as a pocket passer because he's a big, tall guy, and you think, okay, that guy can't run. Well, the guy's an athletic guy. He can do things with his feet. But he's also a grinder, and I say he loves ball. He studies it. He works at it. He's a guy that you almost sometimes throws too much. I mean, he's always working at his craft, done a really good job in camp. I think he's really progressed in the knowledge of what we're doing and why we're doing things, and I think playing really well.
Mm-hmm. Max is Max Johnson, the transfer quarterback. You know, I'm kind of curious, what's the timing like? I'm sure you have a timing based on you talk about putting different pieces and different guys in with each other. But at some point you want the continuity to click in. How do you balance fitting the different pieces together versus saying, okay, this is what we're going to do?
Well, we're still 3 weeks out, so we're worried, worried about that right now.
Right.
We're trying to – and you also got to plan when you're doing this right now. You plan for injuries. You plan for people getting multiple looks at different positions and having to learn that – to at least get an education part of that case. So, okay, if this guy here, we would get your best guys on the field. This guy may have to go here. This guy may have to go here. So you're still planning those types of things in camp right now to get different scenarios that could possibly happen. You always got to plan for the unexpected and what you're trying to do receiver-wise. But I'm not worried about the timing and rhythm, and they're going to have to learn. But you're still 3 weeks out. Those last couple of weeks, we'll polish that up.
Last year at this time, you were very high on the talent of your offensive line. You had just lost from a Joe Moore Award finalist. You'd lost, I want to say, every starter except maybe one. But last year you had a new line, started off a little bumpy, got better the second half of the year. Where are they right now, are you liking?
Playing well. And then the biggest thing was last year, too, we ended up having to play those freshmen, which we weren't – we had an injury.
Yeah.
You lost a center who had been there for 4 years, and Luke, who was doing had a heck of a job. And when you lose that, and then when you have Bryce who come in – takes a while to get adjusted. So that's why I say trying to plan for those types of things right now. But our guys, we're big. We're athletic. We're long. And I think doing a really good job, being really physical. What I like about what they're doing right now, they're physical. So you block the line of scrimmage or you move the line of scrimmage. There's two different ways of doing things. And right now I think we're moving people very well. And, still work in progress. But as far as I go, I like where we're at.
Jimbo Fisher with us here on your home for the Aggies, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You talked about it before, but tell us again about Kenyon Green and what Lovey's getting with him.
I think Lovey's getting a guy who loves ball. He's a team guy, which is different than, anymore. A total team guy. I mean, this guy, you're talking about played all four positions and would do it weekly and never say a word. Right? Where do you need me this week, coach? Who's bumped? Who's bruised? These young guys around me, putting him beside younger guys to play. I mean, the things he did, but also a guy that's very powerful. He's a big body guy who has great lower body flexibility. He has power. But he also has length. He can pass block. He likes ball. He learns well. And I think a guy that's going to play up there for a long time. I recently think he just got nicked up. I think he's missing a few practices right now. I always try to keep up on some of those guys that go in the league and how they're doing until they get settled in. But I know he's running with the ones for a while, so I think they'll get a very good player. I really do.
I'll tell you what now.
Be with the ones.
Yeah. No, when I did his draft stuff early in the season, he's playing tackle. He's doing what you need him to do. But, man, he was a body mover, and it was reminiscent of Quentin Nelson. When I watched him at Notre Dame, I was like, man, I didn't know Kenyon could move guys quite like this. And then I got a chance to meet him at a big man camp in Houston that Dr. Lou was running. And then I saw him at O-Line Masterminds and talked to him. You know, one thing that was – he said, they asked me to snap when he had his pro day. They wanted to see him snap, too, to see if he had 5-for-1. A potential to play left tackle, right tackle, in an emergency, left guard, right guard, center, and he did that for people. So I'm really, really excited about that. Your running back position, man, this is a deep group. You've got some real talent at running back and a variety of guys, different flavors of ice cream. Can you talk about the different guys
there? Yeah, I am. I mean, Devonta Chain is a very unique player. And everybody sees him and says, well, he's shorter, he's smaller, he's a fast guy. Well, but if you really watch, he makes the majority of his yards between the tackles. Mm-hmm. He is one of the most natural guys I've ever coached at running the football, and I've had some really good guys. Very patient, because most guys that are that fast, I mean, the guys ran 10 flat 100 meters. So when you're that fast, sometimes you run too fast to play running back. You never have the patience.
Tempo.
He does it. He is very – he's fast when he has to be. He understands. He picks. He chooses. He's very natural. He pass blocks well. He is a very good athlete, great leverage, and understands how to reduce space on linebackers to get help from around him, how to set, you know, get on an edge.
What do you mean by reduce space?
Well, meet the backer in the hole when he's between guards. And when them blitzers, you can wait on him. Well, if that guy gets separate, it's like it's no different than offense, defense, guard and center. When they're on two different levels, that rusher's got all kind of way to go. He understands how to press the blocks, how to get up in between. He understands how to use his tackle when he's blocking a guy off the edge and set the guy, give him a one-way go. So he's empowered and runs him out. It's almost his intelligence for football may be the most impressive thing of him, and as athletic as he is. And phenomenal hands. Really can catch the football. Amari Daniels and L.J. Johnson are two guys last year, the two freshmen that saw some time but are very natural runners with the football. L.J.'s probably 212, 13 pounds. Can explode and has speed. I mean, he's a 4.5 and under guy. I mean, he can run. He has power. Really natural runner, like I say, learning how to play, getting all the pass stuff now and getting better and better. Amari's the same way. Very, very quick accelerations, change of directions, burst, which is, to me, is important or more important than top-end speed. Those guys that can accelerate, decelerate, rechange, that's what a running back does most of the time.
Yeah.
And playing really well. Then Le'Veon Moss is a guy who, as a freshman, I really like. This guy, you can flex him out. You can put him in the backfield. He's much bigger than you don't realize how big he is. He's sneaky big, really good top end, but very natural physical runner. And then when you have to, you still got Anais that goes in the backfield when you're still moving him around in different pieces of what you have.
You know, when it happened to Anais, I talked to a couple of people that know him and his issue, and they said, I can't believe it. That's not that kid. That's just not that kid, because that of all the kids that they didn't believe that would happen to him. So talk about Anais now, and he's going to have to explain this now to a bunch of NFL people because he's going to the league.
Yeah, he will. And everybody, if you look in everybody's past, sometimes there's a situation. But as we found out, I'm glad it got worked out. I don't know. I'm just going by the facts of what they gave us, and that's all we can go on. And you know, it ended up being that those situations didn't occur. So he's going to do what he does as a player. Anais is a guy who loves football. He's eat up with it. He's a football junkie. He's been a great team leader. He's been a role model, like you say. And he's like you said in this, he's a stepped up. This is what I did. This is what I did wrong. He accepted. I address it. He doesn't run from it. These are things that I can't do, and I move on. And he's that way with his teammates. And I think teammates respect that. You know what I mean? I think that's part of his leadership. I think part of being a leader is being able to be truthful and honest about who you are when you do things right and when you're wrong, and being able to address that part of it.
Well, I'm going to tell you a story now. I heard a story from the Jets. I got a friend who's way up the food chain over there. He said Michael Clemens. Now, it's funny is I don't know about – sometime we come in here and we're
exactly
talking
right.
to you, and I don't know about Michael Clemens last year. I don't know these stories. And then the draft rolls around, and I start talking to scouts about guys who are coming out, and I hear these stories. He was a Mr. Accountability, no mess around guy here, and he is that way right now with the Jets. I want to give you a chance to talk about it because I didn't know this until the draft rolled around and started hearing these stories. And now my friend with the Jets said he's in talking to the defensive coordinator saying, if you have any issues with any rookie, if we're not doing what we need to do, you come see me and I'll get this straightened out. I didn't know he was that guy.
Yeah, Michael's always been that guy, and he had a situation last year. It was tough before the season with him, too. It's not indicative of who you are as a person, and guys can make mistakes. And he was his team, his hard at work, and his hard at practice, accountability guy, leadership guy in that regard. And you go turn the film on, nobody plays harder.
He
plays hard. He likes football, and he likes being around people.
Physical.
I'll tell you what he has done. He's grown as a person. When we first got here, Michael's a very quiet guy. I mean, wanted those things and played hard, but he was a very reserved person, and he's learned to – articulate himself and come out, set examples for people by how he plays, how he works, how he does things. And now he's starting to articulate and come across that guy, and he's really growing as a person. And I'm happy for him, and I think he's going to have a great career because I think he's going – the coaches up there are going to love the guy.
Let's talk about that defensive line now.
Yeah.
And what's going on there.
Very good. I mean, you got McKinley Jackson coming back. So, you remember, McKinley played all last year with a torn labrum. McKinley's a very talented guy, played for us as a true freshman, very gifted. Isaiah Rakes in the mix right there. Shamar Turner is a guy. If you've seen Shamar, he's playing in, but right now he's about 308. He's inside as a D tackle that is athletic, can move, can run, powerful.
Who'd you do that with when you got here? The guy that went to the pros, I'm forgetting his name, who you had a guy who also he played end and slid down inside.
Well, Daylon Mack was a guy that came on, but I'm trying to.
Yeah.
No, Kiki.
Kiki. Yeah, Kiki.
Kiki moved in. It's a big end that moved inside and played, and they got drafted.
It's a huge advantage when you have that quickness inside.
Well, when you see this now, where's your best pass rush in the NFL? Some of your best pass rushers now are three
interior,
techniques.
Yeah.
The interior threes. I mean, the Aaron Donalds of the world. That's changed. That's why guards are getting paid more.
Yeah.
It used to be all the tackles. Now the interior guys are really dominating the game much
more
than
the same concept here? You took a faster guy and bumped
but
him inside.
You did,
with more
he's still 308, 309. I mean, he was going to be that guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because all those guys want to play on the edge. You know what I mean? But they're, like I say, them and God sometimes have a different plan. They can't help it. I mean, they're just on frames. But when you get an athletic guy at that three or even that shade and 2-eye,
yeah,
they can be that quickness. And you know this, if that guy's too quick and you got to constantly double and hammer that guy, your run game can suffer.
Oh, yeah.
Because those backers can
That's
trigger
how you eat
and
up the blocks.
Exactly right.
Is he tough enough?
Oh, yeah. There ain't no doubt about that. I mean, Shamar is a ball. I mean, he loves ball. His mentality to make it a thing as far as how he plays the game and how he practices would be very similar to Clemens in that there is not a play he takes off. There is not a play he's not going to go 1,000 miles an hour. He's 308 and 10 pounds. He's strong as heck. He's really had a good summer. And, you know, he's a guy that can create pass rush and run game in there, Isaiah Rakes. And then the young guys, you know, with Big Walt, you signed inside, and Gabe Dendy, who's not on the field yet. He should be, you know, in another couple of weeks because he had the injury, unfortunately, in the Under Armour game. But he has rehabbed really well. And you got Big Walter Nolan, the young freshman who's coming on.
Jimbo Fisher with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You can't. What was your first year? You had four seniors on that team? Three seniors on that team?
Wasn't a lot.
No, no.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
There's not a lot on this one.
There's not a lot. No. You're young again.
Things. Guys, everybody's leaving. Everybody leaves so early. You know what I'm saying? I mean, a lot of those guys want to leave, and that's just the nature of the beast. Or you're in the transfer portal. I mean, you know, guys, now we had probably that. We had the least amount of guys transfer of any team in the SEC, but it was still like 10. 11 guys, you know what I'm saying? And guys, they don't see the thing or they don't. Young guys are pressing them for time, and that's the world we're in right now. So I don't think if you really go across the board, probably nationally, I would be shocked by the number of seniors that you have on your football team. I would like to do a study. Like, for instance, last year, which this portal, what it's changed to is high school recruiting. There was a study. It was 808 less high school kids signed last year, if I'm not mistaken, than normal.
Wow.
Than normal years. And that's because – everybody now has guys available in the transfer
Same
portal.
Thing with JUCO. Are JUCOs also
JUCOs
suffering?
Are way, yeah, big time.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not signing the no.
No,
down.
Hurt.
No. Yeah. You're not signing the number of JUCO players.
Portals of JUCO.
The portals, I mean, you're constantly have that what's going on in college football.
How do you scout the portal?
Huh?
How do you scout the portal?
When they go in, you just have there's a group. When it goes in, there's a group, you know, you get notified. There's a national portal group, and then who's in it?
Yeah. I know a coach who said, man, we used to get on kids when they didn't commit to us. Now we say, go have fun, because we know that he's coming back to us. He could possibly come back to us in the transfer portal.
The recruiting process now and everything, that the whole demeanor of that whole thing has changed. And, you know, you got one, and they're trying to change it now. They're unlimited. Now, I think they just tabled that vote. I think they want more information, because somebody proposed, if I'm not mistaken, that they could transfer multiple times. Doesn't matter. Didn't have to. Now you got one transfer, and then when you're a graduate. But before that, it was – you could they're trying to propose that you can transfer every year if you wanted to. It's hard. I mean, it's like everybody says, is that a big deal for players? Listen, I get players. There's reason to transfer. I transferred as a player once. I mean, I get there's reasons, but there still has to be. You can't have open free agency every year.
Yeah.
And think about this. The NFL, every player could come and go on any team at any year.
Yeah.
Well, that's funny.
Even in your job, you can't.
Mass hysteria. Yeah, absolutely. No, our contracts are binding.
It's funny. The SEC, you're the lowest with 10.
I think it was 10 or 11,
whatever the case may be. But that's a lot. But you guys have got so many kids that are coming in, and the competition is so great at the top.
Here's the thing. We've only taken two. We've taken Johnson, Max Johnson, and the tackle last year, left tackle. That's only two guys we've taken in the portal.
That is low.
Yes, we're probably one of the lowest in the country.
Why?
Because I still believe in building your program inside out. And with the high school programs and doing the guys and developing them yourself. And we haven't had that huge need. We felt, you know, unless we have injuries, that we couldn't proceed during the season. But we've had that depth coming in through high school.
Yeah, and you know them the entire time.
Yeah.
You know them. You know who they are also. But, before we let you go, I got to ask, where are you mentally for your team, from toughness, from preparation, all the stuff, when you first came in to now? Are you at 100%? Is this how you want it to look, or are you still trying to get there?
Well, I think you're always trying to get there. I think because each group has to get there. You can't – each team changes every year.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, this one group of guys, each team has a one-year life expectancy. That's it. That group of guys is never going to play again. So anytime you infiltrate with other people, they have to buy in the culture. But, yes, our older guys of how we practice, the way we practice, knowing what's going to happen, the tempos in which we do things, the physicality in which we do things, yes. But you're always having to build that in today's time because it's like in the NFL. They don't practice anymore.
I mean,
compared to what they do.
Right.
High school football, that's matriculating down into college football too, which is for safety issues, and we get that. But it's hard to go get tough if you're not in pads. I mean, football's a game that you say I'm tough. Okay, that's good till I get hit. You know, that all sounds good, and I work hard, and I lift weights, and I run. That's not making you tough. And I think that's what you have to constantly teach. And like I said, when you recruit high-recruited guys, a lot of them are. But when they start playing guys that are the same strength, same power. Now, am I becoming a master technician? Is my toughness winning out? Is my technical aspects winning out? Is my competitive nature, all those things winning out? It becomes more the intangible. So to say, yes, I think we are tough and we're physical, but that is an ever-ending process because you can never quit on it. Because human nature is to do what? Take the easy way out.
Yeah.
It's always. I mean, that's everybody, if they could do it. You know what I'm saying? That's human nature. So you're having to always develop that, in my opinion.
That's Jimbo Fisher, head coach of your Aggies right here on the station for the Aggies in Houston. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coach, man, thanks. We really appreciate it. And thanks for – oh, there's Billy. Hey, he announced the starting quarterback again this year.
No,
you missed it.
No, Billy, you get it this year. Hey.
Hey,
you get it this year.
Dang it.
Billy, you get it this year. Hey, I appreciate that bribe. No, I'm joking. It's joking.
Coach, we appreciate it. Thanks for coming
on
with us.
I wish I could name it.
We appreciate you coming on every week. And,
no, it's great to be with you guys. Great show.
Tuesday mornings again. Hopefully we'll do that. And it's great always talking Aggie football with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Jimbo Fisher right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In the meantime, right now, Lance, you, my friend, need to talk about something. And I'm going to tell you exactly what that is. Underdog.
Underdog Fantasy. How about that? Underdog Fantasy gives you the opportunity to play your daily fantasy with baseball, with basketball. They've got, you know, golf stuff on there. They got a lot of different things. But what I really want to impress upon you is that if you are interested in playing a season-long football game, Underdog Fantasy has it for you. It's Best Ball Mania 3. The prize pool is $10 million. It costs $25 to enter. What you do is you enter, you draft your team. It starts in, you know, like 12-team pods. You do 12 different owners will draft, and then that's your team for the entire year. It doesn't change. There's no waiver wire. There's no starting lineup each week. Whoever your highest-scoring quarterback, running back, wide receivers, tight ends are, that's what your highest score is. So you get the highest score possible without doing a thing, and it lasts throughout the year. And then that aggregate score at the end is going to determine what place you're in, and you got a chance to make money up and down the standing. So this is your big opportunity, and when you use the promo code Lance, you are going to get a match of up to $100. So if your first deposit is $100, well, don't be surprised when you see the $200 in your account when you use promo code Lance. And it costs $25 to get into Best Ball Mania 3. So why not take your extra $100 they gave you and put 4 entries in so you have a better chance at winning that cash? You're playing the lottery. Well, play this. This is a game of skill. And you are skilled, right? UnderdogFantasy.com. Use promo code Lance for the match up to $100. UnderdogFantasy.com. Promo code Lance.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait!
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.